So one thing that I've been noticing about today's existence is that without sound, it's terrible. You need sound, right? You need sound to be able to hear things. But what if there's too much? What if there's overload of sound? What if there's noise everywhere? You need to get rid of that. We should cancel that and we should do a podcast about it. There's nothing to do with actually cancelling noise. It's just sort of to do with tech because tech has noise cancelling in headphones and that's kind of the way we've done this. And breathe. Hello, everyone. It's the Noise Cancelling Tech Podcast.
Oh, Lord. I'm Shamiel Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I am Rami Tabari, Staff Writer for Laptop Mag.
I'm Vic Hood, Gaming Writer at Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. Well, I'm glad everyone enjoyed the intro there because I didn't plan it. But let's go straight into the big question. This week, obviously, we've seen that Google and Sonos are apparently getting a little bit upset with, you know, the fact that there's who's taken a bit of tech from who, what's going on. And we thought, you know, why can't tech firms just get along? And I thought the big question this week, for a point, which means absolutely nothing in the real world except for bragging rights, is if there are two tech firms, any two, that you would like to see team up for a one-off collaboration, what would you want to see them make? It doesn't have to be forever. It could just be like a one-off, let's band together in some sort of superhero style situation and make something better. Vic, what would you do?
Given that there's all this kind of talk around like who's best, going to be best next generation, PlayStation or Xbox, I'd like to see them just get along and make one console that has like the great PS5 exclusives we see that are coming up, but kind of that power and accessibility that the Xbox brings. Like, I'd like to do that so we don't have to make a decision between the two going into the next generation because we know it's going to cost us a lot of money anyway.
I don't understand why, you know, this is your section, Vic. You don't want traffic. You're like, you know what, let's just get rid of like one of the two big talking points in gaming this year and we can discuss the two different ones.
But imagine if you combine that traffic into one big like Uber console. Ooh.
It'd be good. I mean, when I was in year six in England, I can't remember what it is in America, when I was 7-8 years old, I came up with a console that was like, I think it was like a Game Boy fell into toxic waste or something that was that bad. And what came out was like a console that could play every game. Like it was back then, it was Mega Drive, Super Nintendo and stuff. But there's also a hole in the side you could put your hand in and just get any Game Boy or Game Gear or whatever out of the side and just play that. Just like a magic hole in the side that just would just spaff out different portable games.
Was it a spherical console? I know you love the idea of a spherical console.
No, I had to be much more mature to realise that's the perfect console. And just to be clear, not one that sits on anything. It floats magnetically so that it's never touching anything. And it's charged wirelessly, obviously, and passes all information wirelessly and never has any wires. Okay, I think it's a strong opening, Vic. Rami, can you do any better?
Well, something that's a little more realistic probably is seeing some AMD components in the next Nintendo Switch. Mostly because, I mean, NVIDIA is nice and all, but AMD has dominated the console market for a long time. And we've seen recently with laptops that they have an edge in battery life. So seeing a graphical edge as well as like better battery life in a Nintendo Switch that may or may not come would just benefit Nintendo entirely.
That just sounds like a really smart idea. This is meant to be an entertaining section at the start that gets people juiced up and going. and you've just basically done a business plan that really doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, yes, he did. He gave the most realistic thing. So with that stated, I'm going to give the most outlandish thing. So I would like LG to take one of those $10,000 10K TVs and combine that with Divalet, this high-end audio company, and they make a like paper thin, somehow some way they make a paper thin home speaker, like a built-in speaker, and it would like you'd press a button and it would either ascend or descend from somewhere. Either way, it's got to be dramatic however it enters the scene, and it would just be the ultimate in audio visual opulence.
And that's it. It would just be that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I think the idea there is of having something that just really just takes on the best of everything. And you think that would be crazy. It'd be way too expensive. But you always know there's some kind of audiophile or cinephile that would just be like, yep.
Yeah.
Having that.
Yeah.
I don't need this house. This house could be sold and I'm going to have that instead. My answer is predictably boring now compared to what Vic said. Is, you know, I was thinking more about this, like this one-off side of things. And like there was a point, the Galaxy S6 time, where we did a concept video of just a Samsung and Apple fusion. And it was one of my most popular videos of all time. And what was really cool about it was that it really engaged a lot of people. I was like, just one year where Samsung and Apple just go, you know what, we're going to put aside our differences. We're going to put aside the problems and we're going to go for this. And, you know, it's got this phone that actually has a full screen at the front. It's got the more powerful cameras at the back that can do more zooms, and there's maybe expandable storage. And it just takes the best of Android and the best of iOS. And just for one second, or one, you know, one release cycle, sorry, shows that they are very similar. You can do great things if you did both. And then when they both part their separate ways again, the phone world would be a lot different. You sort of realize, okay, we're actually going to have to do some innovation, do some cool things here, because ultimately we've proven that we're very similar and we just got the best bits of each, and it makes a really cool thing. I mean, if it was either shaking her head or struggling with the webcam there, one of those two.
A little bit both.
It's a middle of the road one, I guess, isn't it? Like, but after Sherry, then how do you follow that up though?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to think of something more outlandish when Sherry came up with that. And I was like, what if Apple TV and Roku joined up? Like, that's not exciting enough. And I was like, yeah, like, what if you put a blender on the side of something else? Like, I can't think what that could be. And I was like, and then I was like, I'm just going to have to go back with what I was doing and just be a really boring middle of the road. So,
well, if it makes you feel any better, my first thought was I would like Google to team up with Ninja and do voice command on air fryer, but then I was like, no, that's way too tame. Let's shoot for the stars.
But I mean, Ninja blenders. I mean, come on, you'd just be like, blend, and then it blends, and you're like, just to be able to shout at something that's quite aggressive in its action would be quite cool. Blend, stop blending, blend,
liquefy.
Right, well, last week I won the quiz, won the big question, but this week I can't give myself anything, so I think it's going to have to go to Cherie. Although, I think Rami's going to be the one that makes the most money out of this whole thing when both AMD or Nintendo.
I would like at least a 5% finder's fee.
Right, let's talk about what's happened this week, and I think the big news, I think, it's pretty obvious if you look at the any tech side at the moment, is PS5. You know, we saw it. Like, that was a surprise, right, Vic?
Yeah, it was. I think we had an idea, like in the back of our heads, we kind of hoped we would see it. But then just at the end, we're like, oh, they might show it. But what we didn't expect, I think, was to see not one, but two consoles and a bunch of like the peripherals that we're going to see with it. We thought they might like maybe tease it a bit, like show like a kind of shadowed outline of what it would look like. But we didn't expect like to see it as close up as we did.
And Rami, if you're going to explain to somebody who hasn't seen it, which is few people, how would you describe the PS5?
It looks like an alien artifact. That's literally exactly what I thought when I first saw it. I dug it.
I mean, I think visually that doesn't really help people listen to this audio feature, so give a bit more information.
It's tall, it's big. Best way I could describe it is, well, from what I've seen from Photoshop mockups, like comparing side to side, it looks like the biggest, or at least the tallest console that currently exists when stacked up against the PS5. It has these nice little curves, and I've seen a bunch of memes of it like compared to like a campus and stuff. It's like this weird artistic curve with a black bar in the middle and white sides.
Cherie, can you give any more, shed any more light in terms of a descriptive way of talking about this? Some say monstrosity.
No. I think it is, it's got this future minimalist thing going on that I really dig. Very curvy. It's got a lot of curves. It's a thick boy. It's the biggest console that PS has put out. It kind of reminds me of a space station in a way. Like one of those really sterile but beautiful type of deals where like everything's at peace, and then like maybe an alien, like maybe a xenomorph comes out of nowhere and wrecks the peace, and no one can hear you scream in space type of deals. But realistically, it looks like something that I saw in one of the secret labs in Alienware's factory like maybe 2-3 years ago. So I feel like Sony kind of infiltrated there. But like, either way, I'm digging it.
So it's basically like if the Sony PS2 was up on its side and it was just a sort of a solid block, and then you put like a very sculpted binder around it, a white binder around it. You've got this white black contrast and then lots of lights and probably some ports somewhere. And if you've seen the DualSense controller, it obviously takes the design language from that. It's very white and black and two-tone, right? Vic, do you like it? Do you hate it?
I'm not, like, I've tried to be one way or another. With the DualSense, I like the DualSense. And with this, like, it hasn't, like, blown me away. I'm not particularly surprised. And it does look like, essentially, like, a router or, like, two pieces. Like, I've seen people saying it's like a sandwich, like, two white pieces of paper with, like, a black box in between. Like, okay. In terms of, like, the way it looks, I think it looks like the futuristic thing that Sony's going for. But I'm just thinking practically, I'm like, how am I going to fit that in alongside my other consoles? It's massive and it's definitely going to stick out. But I guess it's more decorative.
All right. I think we should hold now. I've just remembered that this may be coming again later in the show. So I'm going to put a pin in that there and go, this was the PS5 game event, Vic, and this was all about games. So were there good games? Were you happy with the games? Was it games? Games.
I was pleasantly surprised. I think, like, until now, we haven't seen, like, what feels like a proper, like, next-gen showcase. There's nothing that's been, like, blowing my mind that I'm like, I'm excited. And I wasn't sure if they'd pull it off, but they did. Like, not every game, like, caught my eye, but there's memorable ones. The big hitters, like Spider-Man Miles Morales and, like, Ratchet and Clank and, like, Horizon Forbidden West, which we kind of expected to see. Then there was some weird ones like Bugsnax with the catchiest theme tune out of all of the trailers that have been shown. It's been in my head for days. So it was a nice, like, all-rounded kind of show, but I got teary watching it because it felt like we were properly, like, seeing the future of games here, even if, like, not everything was exactly like my cup of tea. Just like seeing visually how these games are going to look was pretty mind-blowing.
I think it was definitely impressive what was on show. For me, who's bought a PS4 and keeps me into Play It Better, I sort of go, now I'm gonna have to buy another one that I don't need. So, Cherie, we've talked a lot about how important it is to have a VPN, and obviously a lot of us are still working from home. Security is really more important than ever before, so we have to choose a VPN that's decent. And it's always good when we get sponsors on the show that dovetail well with what we're talking about, because this week it's ExpressVPN, and it's one that we can recommend with confidence because it's TechRadar's number one VPN on the market.
That's pretty awesome. Security is very important. I've been getting some weird emails from our work email, and don't open those, folks. Never, ever open those. But it is vitally important now more than ever to have a really good VPN.
And also, I mean, there are loads of reasons to have a VPN. Obviously, number one is not logging your data, and ExpressVPN does not do that. It uses a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for servers to log any of your info. Making it impossible is really good, and that's where it gets ahead of cheap or other free VPNs that can sell data on further. The other thing is obviously speed. I've tried ExpressVPN around the world in lots of places, and generally I found that it always will do something really nice and connect me in the same way that I want to do something in England if I'm in the US or vice versa. And it always works really well, and I can use it on an iPhone, on my laptop, on an iPad, and it's worked really well. So it's just literally fire up the app once, click the button, and off you go, and you can find smart locations, change what you need in terms of speed or stability or what have you. It's just really easy, right, Cherie?
Yeah, like, I think I could even, like, let my Nana set it up herself. I have that much confidence.
Well, it is just one button. So you press the button and it's turned on. That makes it nice and easy, right?
Yeah.
But then again, our grandparents are probably very tech savvy. That's how we were made. It's not just us, obviously. Lots of other sites around the internet have rated this very well, but obviously we tell you the most important things. So if you want to protect yourself with a VPN that we use, you can use this link right now, which is expressvpn.com/noise. You can use that today. That's expressvpn.com/noise. And if you need it spelled out, it's expressvpn.com/noise. Visit there to learn more. Rami, I mean, in terms of what the future of gaming is going to be, what do you know what it is now? You've seen it and you can explain it completely perfectly, right?
I'm gonna say no. Like, as pretty as those games were, we're still on the cusp of transitioning from one generation to another, so I don't think we've even touched what PS5 or even the Xbox Series X is capable of. But the games do look like are gonna run a lot better just from the power, at the very least, even if they don't look as, like, graphically better, they will perform better. So that means 60 FPS, you know, 120 FPS, 4K, you know, depending on the game. As for the games themselves, I got super excited to see the Demon's Souls remake. So
of course you did.
Yes, yes, because I'm a masochist and I want to play some Demon's Souls because that's on PS3. For those who don't know, and getting a remake on PS5 is great, so I can actually play that. And Resident Evil 8 too. That's awesome. Werewolves, Chris Redfield, all that stuff. I'm jazzed to see that. So.
I mean, the other thing that's come out of this is obviously the amount of times we've seen leaks about the price that are just sort of made up. Obviously, there are two consoles. There's the slotted edition, which you can put physical media in, so you can put your discs in. And the, you know, the people that don't do that anymore, because that's so last year, would just the digital-only version. So in theory, there may be two price tiers, though we don't know. But Cherie, I mean, there's been so many leaks going about the price. Do any of them make sense? Or is it just like, oh, might as well make a number and put it on Amazon?
I personally think that it's going to be in that $600 range for the one that still takes physical discs. So I've been seeing prices like close in that range, even though I could see it being $700, $800. The all digital one, of course, is going to be cheaper. I can see that being $399. And then we're not talking about, because I also think that there are going to be a whole bunch of bundles when this launches. So like they might throw in the whole kit and caboodle with the media control, the camera, and everything else we saw. So that could put things at 8, 9, depending on what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I feel like, I think it was it Jim Ryan or some other Sony exec who was saying that it emphasizes value over price, you know, so it's not going to be the cheapest thing in the world. But I mean, Vic, I mean, is that something that makes sense? Because I know previously that the PlayStation 4 was one of its big selling points, was it was cheaper, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of both Microsoft and Sony have learned from like price issues that they've had in the past. What's kind of concerning this time around is that, well, it's concerning, but it's also a level of transparency where PlayStation have been quite clear in not telling us, like not saying this is going to be an affordable console. Everything they've kind of said seems to back up the fact that this is going to be pricey, but where their emphasis seems to be is on that it's going to be value for that price. I'd say kind of my estimates are the same as Cherie's in that I think we're looking about £600 for the actual console, but I don't think the digital edition is going to knock off that much. I think if you look at like the Xbox One S all digital edition, like Microsoft's version of that, the difference in price is between like $50 and $100. So I think we're looking at this thinking, oh, that'll be a more affordable console, but actually it's not going to be that much more affordable than what we're probably hoping for.
Yeah, and I feel like that's right, Vic, and there's definitely going to be some kind of some weird disparity about it. But what ultimately is upsetting me is just that we keep seeing these leaks, and I'm like, none of this is definitely true, none of this is actually probably going to happen, and it's just a shame that we just don't know the price. I suppose it's a shame, but it gives us another thing to talk about later.
It's also worth noting that, like, I think while Sony may have a price point in their head, and like in February they didn't, but they may have a price point in their head, but the minute we're in like a standoff between Microsoft and Sony, where actually those prices could change, and they both seem to be holding out because this has now come down to like a marketing strategy now. This isn't about like anybody else. This is these two being like, should we undercut our price to beat them? So there could be a price, but that price is probably just going to rely on what the other one's doing. So I think no matter what prices we see, it's not going to be the right one quite yet.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot more to come from this year, which is obviously good. Again, lots of traffic for us, lots of things to write about, lots of excitement. So that's always great. But let's change gears briefly and talk about another bit of the future, which is 5G. Cherie, you chucked this in here, that the Lenovo Flex 5G is the first 5G laptop. I was like, and?
Yeah. Like, I think I put it in here more for the 5G conspiracy theorist folks more than anything. Like, so 5G is coming. It's here. It's in laptops, as promised, and the first one is the Lenovo Flex 5G. It will be running exclusively off of Verizon, which, I mean, I'm on Verizon, so yay for me. I'm not sure. I like the idea of an always connected laptop. I really do. I just, I like when I think about it cost wise, I think right now, if you want to do this with Verizon, it's an extra $30 just to have a data plan for your laptop. And it seems a little bit much to me, but for people that are like really do need an always connected laptop, it seems like a really good deal. Also 5G, I just think it's funny. I really just think the conspiracy theorist thing is just hilarious. I don't know why. Like maybe I just like to stir the pot. Yeah, that's actually I love stirring the pot. Other than that, it's running on a Snapdragon chip. With Arduino graphics, which means that you're not going to get the best performance because this is really all about having all day battery life and being always connected. So there is going to be a compromise. So this is like, if you really just need to type, like do a couple of presentations on the go or like type out a report, this is the type of laptop this is. If you're looking to do some heavy duty video editing or photo editing, this is not for you. But again, 5G, someone with a tinfoil hat is just ruining and waving their fist angrily at me. And I just love it. I love stirring the pot. That's all that happens.
Two quick points on this. First of all, you said duty. When you think about it, I know that this is really expensive. It's like $1,400. By the way, earlier, Vic said the word quid. That is a pound in English parlance, for anyone that doesn't know.
I don't know what the vernacular is that applies to everybody.
Super quid bucks. That's the answer. Or units. But no, but this is $1,400, as we know. If you haven't got the Verizon line, it's an extra $90. That's a lot. But then again, if you sort of, when you think about the $30 extra, that's... You know, for something that just is like always connected forever, and like 5G for all it's, you know, the conspiracy theorists or whatever, is just 5G will make everything connected and it will just be that thing. Like, I know that Verizon probably doesn't have the coverage that some people might want, but when it gets there, this is going to be a crazy thing. I do think this is the kind of the future, but it'd be a really boring future. You just take it for granted really quickly, in the same way as sort of casting things to your TV is now really easy. And you're like, yeah, I can do that, super easy. But in the past, it was like you had to sort of sell your firstborn to let the connection begin and stuff. So... There's definitely a future coming, and I'm pleased about that. Right, we've got to be quick with the next two because we're running way over as per usual. So iPhone flip leak, that's one of the ones we're talking about. There's a possible foldable in inverted commas iPhone, but it's not foldable. Rami, have you seen this one?
I have not actually. It'll be very interesting if Apple actually does anything innovative with their iPhone, because they're usually stick to what's like. Works, and I highly doubt they're actually going to go for something that flips, but that's just me.
But what's exciting about this is that it's not a case of just a foldable screen, which we're seeing a lot of people do with vague levels of success, but this will be an iPhone that has two iPhones that apparently, according to John Prosser, who's given the leak, will seamlessly connect together. So there will be a join, but it'll be so, you know, you can imagine Apple making it so seamless that it's basically one screen and therefore a lot cheaper because, you know, it's not having a foldable display. However, I'm thinking there's two iPhones in this thing. That's going to be well expensive. I can see Vic moving her hands around to try and figure it out.
On top of each other or like beside each other. Is that not just a tablet? Are two phones attached, not just a tablet?
Well, the idea being that it would fold out to be like an iPad mini. That's always the dream, right? We're all on camera just like holding our hands up like we're praying or asking for more like in Oliver. But yeah, I think there would...
More?
Yes, sir. But I feel like, you know, I think flip phones and wider screens and stuff is really cool. Where just when Apple gets into it, it's going to be an interesting space. And if they did this and didn't do it well, it'd be terrible.
Oh my God. If they fell flat on their face with the foldable, I would laugh and laugh. It would bring me so much joy.
It would just be seen as a concept. Like the Apple Watch number one was fairly poor, but that managed to get through. It was just like a second screen that cost loads of money. And this is roughly the same thing. But in terms of being laughable, the KF console. Like, we're going back to the crazy now. And so KFC, I mean, they're not saying this is a joke, but let's assume it is. They saying, don't need an Xbox, don't need a PS5, get the finger-licking KF console instead. That's KFC onsole together. Vic, would you like a chicken chamber in your console?
No, I worked in KFC for 2 years. So on Friday...
And
when
you're
I got...
a gaming writer now. It's perfect. It's fusion.
It was like Friday and we're doing the cleanup from PlayStation and they literally... They marketed it like the actual story like it was like a full thing. They were like, will you please agree to an NDA and an embargo and we'll send you the press release. And I was on Friday going, oh, there's so much other stuff that's just, okay, send me it. And KFC Gaming and that thing, and there is a deal on it, and I don't know what they're going to do with like whatever the deal is, whether that's just like a pretend deal of something they're going to do or whether they're actually going to like make my life worse on that day.
Vic, you were really busy that day, I know, and you were doing really well to keep it all together. What made you think I should probably check into this KFC embargo?
No, it wasn't. So they it came from like a PR company for KFC, and they were they were like, it's coming from KFC Gaming, which I forgot was a thing. I forgot there's KFC Gaming is an official thing. And they were like, it's from KFC Gaming. I was like, okay, maybe it's like, you know, they're going to do like some sort of partnership with PlayStation, and I don't know, you get like, I don't know, get a chicken burger or something with your console. I don't know, but it was not that. I think it was just a PM for journalists. That's what they wanted.
It could still happen. That's what I say. It could still definitely happen. Right. Okay. Let's try and wrestle this back. So Cherie, after this brief interlude, you know what we're going to do. So come back after this. And we're back. Cherie, take us there.
We're going to the lab. We're going to see some stuff. Well, not really see, because like it's a audio podcast, but you get the idea. We're going to talk about laptops, tablets, consoles, and everything in between. Back into the labs.
Indeed. So we've been very gaming focused this week, and we're not going to stop. There's been more than just console launches. Vic, you have been... I mean, I've seen you from afar. You've been sending me Slack messages. It's been a tricky week because you've had to do a monumental game review, right?
Yeah, the Last of Us 2 is not a small offering. I'm sure Rami can attest to that. It's not as short as the first one. There is a lot to digest there. What did you think, Rami? How did you get along with it?
Well, I'll tell you, in terms of the length, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about because I actually can't talk about it, but... The first act of the game is where I thought it was going to end.
Me
and
too.
Turns out there's actually two more acts to the game. And it's just an endless cycle of violence and death. And it's so much fun.
Yeah, I should specify that, like, we're not just being, like, purposely, like, jumping around the issue. We cannot talk about it until the game is officially out. So that's why we're being a bit... you know, mysterious.
I like mystery.
I have a question for you, Victoria, that I think I know you can answer. Did you play it on hard or did you play it on normal?
I played it on moderate, I believe.
Yes, like what was someone on this podcast who shall remain nameless loves to play things on hard. First thing
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so I played it on Survivor. Oh. Which was quite the adventure because I'm sure, I don't know how many hours you put into it, but my final time was like 38 hours,
ooh,
I think.
Yeah, I was in the 30 spectrum. Over 30, I didn't check after that. I just seen 30 was the last one, and after that...
I'm assuming that's 39 then, Vic, and you won. Well, yay, Tech Radar!
Yeah, but it was... So how did you think about the actual... What did you think about the game overall? Because it's kind of a... It's a mixed bag in terms of, like, I thought it was phenomenal, and I gave it 5 stars in our review, and I've called it the best game of this generation, and I stand by that, but I've seen a lot of other people's reviews have come out, and I guess there's criticism that I see why they're being critical about certain aspects of it, but I don't agree.
I definitely agree. I think it's an amazing game. I also scored it 5 stars. I can definitely see why someone wouldn't like it, because there's a lot of rough things that happen and that you're kind of forced to do. The Last of Us 2 is very emotionally manipulative, and it'll, in ways that you wouldn't see in your average game. It's definitely not your typical Naughty Dog game where it's like, oh, just all action, it's great, writing is good. This is like really trying to reach into your soul and rip it out of you.
Yeah, I found myself crying at several parts during it, but I think, yeah, that narrative is probably the most important aspect because it goes beyond what a game would tend to do and blurs all those moral lines, and you're uncomfortable with some of the stuff you're doing. Like, not even that it's violent, you're uncomfortable morally with some of the things that you are ultimately forced to do, and then you see the consequences of what you've been forced to do. But I think like there's concern from people about the level of violence, but it is like it's there for a reason, I think. And it's like the spoilers, I read the spoilers afterwards because I went in blind without seeing any, and once I played the game I read the spoilers, and I don't think they take away from the game.
I mean, Cherie, I mean, I don't know about you, but have you ever wept while doing a review of anything?
Not that I would openly admit to. like, ice cold? Like, nah. But everyone is always like, oh, well, video games need to grow up and this and that. And now you've got something with like, we're hitting that era where the people that were making the games, like for me as someone who's about to turn 40, those folks are turning 40 or they've been 40 for a while, and so now the perspectives are a lot different than just a simple power fantasy. There's a story to tell. There, like, this is the maturation of gaming, and I for one open it with welcome arms. I cannot wait to start playing this weekend. And I expect to be uncomfortable. I expect to be upset, like, because I've read the reviews, and thankfully, thanks you guys for not giving any spoilers. But, like, you're in this post-apocalyptic world, like, it's picking right after Last of Us 1, where Joel just kind of maybe sort of kind of doomed the world because he loved... Joel loved Ellie so much that he forsook the world. And, you know...
Spoilers! I haven't played the first one yet.
You're not going to.
You're not going to. Like, stop. Like,
no, I haven't finished Burnout Paradise City yet, so...
Why are we playing... Don't play these games with me. And, you know, there's got to be consequences for that. What does the world look like when, like, folks are basically still being infested by this spore and being turned into mindless zombies? Potentially you could have saved everyone, you didn't, and the survivor's guilt that this child has to deal with. So I can only imagine how jacked up things are going to get.
Yeah, I find it very interesting to see from your perception of the game from reading reviews, because the guidelines are so rigorous and like what we can talk about and what your perception of the game is going to be and what people's perceptions from trailers and stuff to what it actually is. I'm very excited for you to play it, and I'm very excited for everyone to play it, because I went in thinking it was something totally different than what it actually was.
Yeah, I agree. It's like it's an exhaustive journey.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's hard for a game to make it like to be good and make it feel exhausting. Usually it's like when it's exhausting, it's typically a bad game. You just don't want to play it. But every single moment that you're trying to get like through this game, through your objective, it just exhausts you to a point of like you feel desperate and helpless as the player, as the character, just trying to fight your way through a wave of nonsense to get where you need to go. And it's just, it's expertly crafted in a way to make you feel that way without making it feel like a bad game.
Rami, I've got the way you guys are talking is making me feel like I should play this game, which I often get when people talk about games and then I don't do it. But is this the sort of thing when you say you're really getting into the narrative and like Cherie said, that it's not, you know, just grow up with gaming. These are epic, involved, like they're basically movies that go on for 2 days, which sounds crazy. Is it a game where you have to, you know, you have to give it like 4 hours at a go or more if you can, or is it like you can pick up and put down really easily? Asking for a friend.
After the first couple hours, you're gonna find it hard to put it down, only because you like kind of need to know what happens, and you're just gonna keep going through it, and it's like it keeps like pulling you in to the point where you need to know what happens. You need to know what happens. Like you have a goal in mind in this game, and you're trying to fulfill it.
You guys are so fun hearing you be so cagey about this.
It's so hard. I can't wait.
It's hard to talk about.
Yeah, I can't wait till we get to the spoiler cast.
Yeah, because I purposely have avoided all spoilers. Like when those leaks first came out, I'm like, nope, not doing it. So I will be going into this blind. I'm so excited.
I don't think you could spoil this for me. I would have no idea what you're talking about. Right, I want to hear Cherie's hate in Unpopular Opinions that is coming. So, Vic, you get a choice. Do you want to hear about Surface Headphones 2, the Moto 360 smartwatch by eBuyNow, or LG's latest affordable projector? Which tickles your fancy?
Oh, I don't know anything about any of these. So I'm going to say the Moto 360.
Oh, that's the boring one. Cherie, talk about the Surface Headphones 2.
Surface Headphones 2, they're finally here, right with the Surface earbuds. Second time is a charm. So Microsoft took the things that we didn't like about the first one. They've tweaked the active noise canceling. Is it as good as Bose? No, absolutely not. But it's pretty freaking good. They're comfortable. They gave us another color than that corporate slave gray that they love so, so very much. Microsoft, you're making tablets that pose as laptop replacements, which I don't buy. But they're colorful. Give me some color, for the love of God. Look at the tight covers with those things and give me some of those colors on your headphones. But thank you for the black, because that gray is the type of gray that I imagine you're just sitting under fluorescent lights in a dead-end job and it's just sucking the soul out of you. But neither here nor there. That's just my personal design thing. The touch controls are back with the knobs and everything. That's really cool. The 13 levels of active noise canceling, solid. I have no complaints. Like, is it as good as Bose? Again, no. But it does what it's supposed to. Like, when I had the TV going or when I was out taking my daily walk, I could barely hear the stuff going on the streets, because now, depending on the time you go out, it's fireworks season. So people like to shoot off fireworks at it. Like, it could be the daytime, it could be the nighttime, but you're going to hear an M80 or something going off. And that really helped, the headphones helped to keep all that nonsense out of my soundscape. So thanks for that. $299, I gave them 4 stars. Like, the battery life could be better. They need to work on the sound a little bit more, but this is a great second attempt at headphones.
Well, I think that's a very comprehensive overview. And if you want to hear more about the Moto 360 or LG's latest affordable projector, please go to techradar.com/find the URLs yourself, guys. Google it. Cherie, we are back. And where are we going?
Unpopular opinions. Let your hate unfurl. I'm about to hate on a company who should no longer be making phones. Unpopular opinion.
Well, I was going to start with something else, Cherie, but you've now led it into a different direction. Tell us why you don't like HTC.
Yeah, I need them to stop making phones. It's a wrap. I don't want it anymore. Like, there was a time that me, HTC, and their beautiful aluminum phones were thick as thieves. Like I was one of those people that I used to carry around 2 smartphones. One for my regular business, and I had this gorgeous HTC. It was a Windows phone at that. And I was using it solely as my music player because it was just that dang on pretty. But fast forward to 2020, and I just don't see why they're doing this. I don't see the point of it. I think that, from what I'm gathering, these are going to be mid-range phones. So, okay, the affordability piece I can get, but I'm not sure that people are just clamoring the way that they did back in the day for an HTC phone. The big thing about them was they would have these gorgeous designs and these high-end specs, and they just let that fall to the wayside in favor of the VR business. So now we're back in the phone. Like, it makes me worry for them. I worry for them. They, like, stick to one thing, folks, and really, really nail that down.
I was all set to disagree with this, but you know what? You're actually right, which makes Unpopular Opinions popular. But I think that the days of HTC being wonderful, quietly brilliant, was the tagline, and it really was. But that was when, you know, smartphones were a new thing. And I don't think HTC... I can point to some places in their timeline where they made a misstep and didn't quite get it right. But there was no real problem beyond just they were quite a small company, just punching well above their weight. And you know, the momentum they had to build to make, you know, flagship phones that were better and faster and stronger and educate people. You know, they did the ultra pixel camera back in the day, which was like, you know, really good low light, doesn't matter about the pixels, didn't sell very well because people got confused. And when you haven't got that much money to do marketing, which, you know, Apple and Samsung and Huawei do, it's very difficult. And I suppose, yeah, I want them to stop making phones now as well, so I can just keep my memories and stop feeling like, oh, HTC's still making phones, I miss the glory days. But then are we just hackneyed old journalists and, you know, Victoria and Rami are looking at us like, what are you talking about? Who cares?
Man, if you saw those phones back in the day, they would give you color.
They were so good.
They would give you like aluminum. Like, if they were beautiful phones. Like, they did this cobalt blue number that would have knocked your socks off. Oh my God. But yeah, and they got wrapped up in that Beats music fiasco.
I do not understand that. Like, how did they buy Beats, or part of it, sell it back for a certain money, and Apple bought it for like 10 bajillion times more? I still haven't figured that out.
I don't know either.
Makes no sense. Right, so I've got time for one quick unpopular opinion. So who put in, I should know this already, who put in Rockstar and the GTA 5 horse?
That me.
Oh, Lord. So many memes.
Vic, unfurl the hate.
Well, I think, like, we've seen the PlayStation reveal, and once again, we got GTA 5 again on PS5 as an enhanced version, and it's like the Skyrim of, like, Rockstar games, I guess. It's like every console.
I know about that. Arrow to the knee.
All the time. We've had it on so many different platforms. Again and again and again, and we just want GTA 6. Like, stop giving us the same one. And I get, like, that GTA Online, like, makes a lot of money, and lots of people are, like, still playing GTA Online and GTA 5, and they want to move those people onto the next generation. But, like, again? And they opened opened with it as well. They opened the show with it.
Yes, that's what I thought was the... I
was like, oh. I immediately was like, this is going to be awful if we're just seeing games that we've already seen again.
So was it a case, I think someone showed me a meme the other day, I love a meme, of, like, was it GTA 3 to GTA 5 took X amount of years, and then we've had GTA 5 five times in the same period?
Forever, yeah.
We'll just get used to it.
Well, we've got, like, GTA 6 is going to take a while to build because it's going to be big and stuff like that. And they've said that this one's going to be like an expanded edition, which means, like, there's rumors they're just going to stick like a Liberty City map onto GTA 5.
Oh.
But I think at this point we just want the new game. Just give me the new game.
I'm gonna leave this whole podcast on Vic's sad plea there. Just give me the game. Please. Like, right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. This has been good. It's been gaming heavy. So if, like my dad, who doesn't enjoy listening to game stuff, oh, I've missed out a section again. He's going to be so mad. Oh, we haven't got any time, Dad. Next week. Just leaves me to say thank you for turning up, guys. So Vic, anything you want to share where people can contact you, or just where to look on TechRadar to find out your stuff?
Yeah, well, you can find my stuff on the gaming vertical of Tech Radar. There'll be lots of The Last of Us stuff coming up over the weekend. And if you want to find me on Twitter, it's @hood_Vic.
Cherie, can you do this quickly?
Of course I can. If you want to find me on Twitter or Instagram, it's MISSMITH 11, so Miss Smith 11. And of course, go to Laptop Mag for everything gaming, laptops, tablets, anything that you can plug into a laptop or tablet. Laptop now, laptop then, laptop forever, laptop always.
24 seconds, that's what you took. Rami.
So yes, you can also find me on Laptop Mag, and you can also find me on Twitter @RamiTabari. And yeah, that's me.
7 seconds, well done. And I'm Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. TechRadar's your place to come for all the good stuff, tech-wise and otherwise. You know, people are crying over reviews. Come read about that. I'm SuperBeav on Twitter, TechRadar on all the Instas. And just leaving me to say thank you very much for listening. Please find us on Spotify, Apple. Rate us where you can. 5 stars is nice. 4 stars is unfair, just to let you know. We are also part of the Audioboom Originals Network, so please do check that out for loads of other top-quality stuff, which we will promote more in the future. Thanks very much, everybody, and we'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
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 Bye.